Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that your Holy Spirit would come and join us. Not because we doubt your presence, but we know that you asked us to ask. And Lord, without you, Holy Spirit, we will not be able to understand. You are the one that brings understanding. And without you, we are helpless because you're the helper. And so we need you. We've been relying on you, whether we acknowledge that or not. You have been the reason for every breath. In you we live and we move and we have our being. And so I just pray that as we open up the word, you would lift off deception that's on our heart, that you would expose apathy that's in our hearts, that you would, just take off weight, and you would allow us to run with perseverance. You would teach us the paradox of waiting in order to run. And Holy Spirit, I know that these men have been called by you to be here tonight, because I don't often talk about this. So, Lord, I'm just thanking you that you're already out ahead of this. And I ask that your words would go out. Mine are powerless. And so, Lord, I say, would you even, I just believe crazy enough that I could say something and by your Spirit, they hear what is rather truth. So God, don't let me get in the way of you and your word tonight. And I ask that these men would leave changed because they've encountered you and they've encountered truth, and that the truth would set them free. In Jesus' name. All right, brothers. 1 Samuel 17. And you know how we have to read. Read it like it says it, right? Here's why we're going to talk about victory. And here's why I said, okay, Lord, I'll talk about victory. Because, man, here's a really important thing. So I don't know. Oh, I don't have any more journals. That's what I should have got, journals. Well, take notes somewhere because you won't remember half of it.
Does anybody want a piece of paper?
Anybody?
All
right. Anybody need one?
I'm gonna run out to my car real quick.
All right, run fast. Notebook in there. If you locked out, pound. Here's why I'm okay with talking about victory tonight. Man, as long as you understand that victory is not the end, then I'm okay with talking about it. Mm-hmm. It kind of goes like this. If you have a goal in mind, I don't know, name a goal. Let's do PowerPoint. What's a goal someone would have or that you have? What do you have, Andy? What's a goal?
What area of my life are you talking about?
I don't know. Finances.
Finances.
Debt free.
By?
50.
By 50. What's the main source of your debt? Mortgage and credit card?
Mortgage.
Okay. No credit cards?
Just small.
So tell me, how long have you been working at your business? All right. So mortgage.
How long have I been working at?
That's right. All right. So mortgage. So here's the deal. So the goal is to be free from debt by 50, right? And so right now you sit with debt. And so what can often happen is instead of saying, I'm going to be debt-free by 50, what you begin to say is, I'm just going to have paid off my mortgage by 50. And you don't keep the whole, no, I'm going to be debt-free by 50. Mm-hmm. And you focus on the thing that right now is the thing that's causing you to be in debt, and I'm just going to get out of that thing. And then once I get out of that thing, well, it's possible to get out of that thing and not actually then be debt-free by 50. And so, like, with sexual issues, sexual integrity, sexual purity, we can, like, say, well, what's my goal? Well, my goal is to, like, stop looking at porn or stop masturbating or stop having affairs or stop prostituting or soliciting prostitutes or whatever. That's like saying I'm going to pay off my mortgage. No, the goal is freedom. It's freedom that Christ set us free for. But here's the deal. Victory, you can't encounter freedom without having victory. So as long as you understand that victory is part of the process, first you have to understand who you are, your identity in Christ. You are free, right? You are That's your identity, okay? But Galatians 5:1 says, well, you were set free for freedom. Well, how do you get from there to there? Well, the Israelites, if you want to look at their example, right? They're set free from captivity. They are now free. But they hadn't yet crossed the Jordan and been in freedom. Right. They fought victories in the wilderness.
Right.
Okay? So you got to learn how to fight in the wilderness. But as long as you don't lose sight of, the point is to get on the other side of the Jordan. Does that make sense? The point of the wilderness was never to stay there. Here's the funny part, though. In the wilderness, let's do some yes or no's. In the wilderness, were they provided for?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They had provision. Amen. In the wilderness, did they see the miraculous hand of God at work around?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely did, right? Crazy. In the wilderness, did they have victories?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So they had victories. They had provision. They had everything they needed. They saw the miraculous hand of God. And they settled then and said, well, this is it. And they believe. So why did they cross the Jordan? It said, the Bible says, because of their unbelief. Right? They stopped believing what they were set free for. They were not set free. Dude, no one would have signed up to leave Egypt, who's like, dude, you guys want to go out and wander around for a while? Right? They were called to a land flowing with milk and honey. That was the vision in there, and they forgot. They forgot. So I want to talk about victory, which I'm saying victory because victories, fighting the war, okay, is the part that is on us. We are set free by him, by his spirit. We are set free. Our identity has changed. We cannot change it. That's why this is called broken free. You have to be broken free. You can't figure it out, your stuff. But then when you get into the wilderness, you're the one who's got to choose how you're going to walk. So one of the things that I felt like helps clarify this is the purpose of engaging in war is not to be victorious, it's to be at peace. So I feel like I feel like that is from the Lord. I feel like that's a pretty chew on that in your soul for a little bit. The purpose of engaging in war is to obtain peace, not to just be victorious. Right? If the United States was going to war and all that was going to happen is we're going to be, I don't know. I'll probably say something bad. China? I don't know. Who are we fighting? Afghanistan? The point is not just to beat them if we are then not also at peace, if we don't obtain peace. Like, two countries don't go to war if the result is going to be peace for their country. You can win a bunch of battles, like look at the Civil War, right? But yet our country wasn't at peace. You can have victories, but yet not have freedom. So,
can you define what being at peace looks like?
Well, that's great. In Joshua, I'd write this down. Joshua 21, 43 to 45. It's a great question. Let me just read that. Y'all should write this. Y'all should write this one down. Joshua 21. Listen to what it says. This is what I believe freedom is. This is what I believe peace is. This is what I believe scripture says. So the Lord, this is after Jericho. And by the way, who fought the Battle of Jericho?
Joshua.
I hate that song.
It was the whole Israelite people, right?
Well, it's the whole Israelite people. Yeah. And number one, no one fought a diggity dog thing, man. They walked around and they shouted and Jesus took the walls down. So,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Never mind. Joshua led the battle of Jericho. We could say that. Listen, though. So the Lord gave Israel all the land which he had sworn to give their fathers, and they possessed it and lived in it. And the Lord gave them rest on every side, according to all that he had sworn to their fathers. And no one of their enemies stood before them. The Lord gave all their enemies into their hand. Not one of the good promises which the Lord had made to the house of Israel failed. All came to pass. So I believe freedom is peace. It's also the Lord's doing. It's when he gives you peace on every side. It's what he promises. And by the way, that is where you settle. That word is, and they settled in it. Don't settle in the wilderness, settle in the promises. Promised land. We'll talk about freedom. Well, yeah, let's talk about victory. So, yeah, victory is the result of war. Again, it's not the end of war. The end of war is peace. That needs to be the end. So here we go. 1 Samuel chapter 17. I'm going to start in verse 31. Ready? When the words which David had spoke were heard, which is basically saying, who's this jerk Philistine man? I'm going to go punch his face in. They told them to Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail on account of him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine. And Saul said to David, dude, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, man, for you are but a youth, while he's been a warrior from his youth. And David said to Saul, your servant was tending his father's sheep. See, David's getting defensive now, man. He's like, dude, you don't know me. Like, I was tending my father's sheep when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock. I went out after him and attacked him and rescued it from his mouth. Okay, that's kind of funky, man. That wasn't like a, hey, boo, I scared him and went and grabbed him and ran away. Dude, I rescued him from his mouth. And when he rose up against me, okay, so, dude, there's a struggle here. I seized him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he's taunted the armies of the living God. He didn't taunt God, man. He taunted the armies of the living God. I love what David saw, you know, in his spirit that not the other people saw. And David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, with a chuckle and a laugh and a good luck, said, go, may the Lord be with you, because if he ain't, you toast. And then Saul said, hold on, man, come back here. You hold on a second. Are you going to have a fighting chance? Get my stuff on. So Saul clothed David with his garments and put a bronze helmet on his head and clothed him with armor. Obviously, he wasn't listening at all to David, who said, dude, I was in the field and the bears came. You follow me? He's like, hold on a second. Let me. He knew nothing. He knew nothing of the ways of a shepherd. Feel that, guys. You're not trained by the world's system. The psychologists are going to tell you how to beat it and how to defeat it and what armor to put on, but you are not like that, man. All right? Amen? Right? We got a different trainer, or it's a different war, and we see things differently. And David girded his sword over his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. So David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them. And David took them off. And the rest is a little bit of history, but we'll jump down to 45. And David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, who you have taunted. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you and give you the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel, and that this assembly may know the Lord does not deliver by sword or spear. Amen? For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give it into our hands. Quick recap is this, gentlemen. Who won the battle, right? David. So he won and was victorious. Was Israel then free? They were not. Israel was still not free. This was just one battle along the way. They were victorious, but yet they were not free. As I read this and was thinking about what does it take to walk in victory, I feel like the Lord showed me four things, and I want to just call your attention to them. I want to call you to chew on them. Number one, David chose to make war. The first step to victory is make a choice to engage in the war. How many of the people, how many of the brothers, how many of our brothers are hearing the taunts, seeing the taunts, and not choosing to make war? Amen? We are not of those men that shrink back. Tough luck. You punched that card a long time ago, man. We are of those who press forward, press on, who persevere. So, it's verse 32 if you want to know. David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail on account of him." It's kind of funny, right? They weren't fighting because their hearts were failing. "Your servant will go and fight this Philistine." So he made a decision. He made a decision back there. He made a decision, verse 29, I think, or verse before that, because then the word came to Saul. So number one, man, you got to make a choice. I think you're all here because you've chose to make a choice for war. Is that right?
Yeah.
Number two, the second thing, and I don't really know if, well, I mean, let's go and, I don't really, it's not like a, well, yeah, let's go in order of the scripture bringing it up. It's different than I wrote it down. Let me see your pen real quick so I can just change it in my notes. Boom. We'll go in order. Number two, verse 35 says this. He's telling Saul why he is going to win. "Because I went out after him," verse 35, "I attacked him, I rescued him from his mouth. When he rose up against me, I seized him by his beard and I struck him and killed him." The Lord showed me, it just jumped out to me when I was reading this. David knew exactly where his enemy's weakness was. He knew the exact place. He said, "I seized him by his beard, I struck him in the head and I killed him." And we could say, well, I don't know. I mean, I don't hunt, but how do you take out a deer? Do you hit him in the head or do you hit him in the heart?
Heart, lungs.
See, I wouldn't even know that, dude. If I was hunting, I would have been like, dude, let's get him in the cheekbone. Well, this proves my point. Different animals at different places, whatever. It amazes me, like, when you watch boxing, man, you see people just, there's like four places you can hit a dude to just knock him out. And it, when you see it in slow motion, the way they just like hit right there. Like, how did that knock him out? It's just the way that it, you know, does whatever it does if they just. Yeah. So, men, we got to know the enemy that's coming against us. And when I say that, I want to clarify this, man. When I say enemy, for I believe for the purpose of what we're talking about, it could be literally the enemy. It could be demonic activity against you that is seeking to bind you, demonic forces seeking to bind you in solicitation, prostitution, whatever, heroin, whatever you're... It could be that your own flesh, your flesh that is opposed to God. If you are in Christ, you're a new creation. So your flesh is all. It can also, in a sense, be your enemy. I know there's some stuff in the New Testament about... Some people used to think all your flesh is dead. No, your flesh needs to be redeemed. Your flesh is... You're made in the image of God. You need to put... him on. But you got to know your enemy's weakness. And so, I don't know if you've heard me say this before, but one of the first times I was preparing to speak on freedom, the Lord woke me up It wasn't a dream. It woke me up and I heard, take the high ground, set up camp, watch and pray. I just heard this thing in my head saying that over and over, take the high ground, set up camp, watch and pray. And as I've prayed into those things, I feel like the set up camp part is, and watching and praying is, if you study military tactics, that you set up camp so that you can scout your enemy and see what they're doing from a safe place. You don't just set up camp and hide in there and hope they don't come in. You do it so that you have a safe place to scout. It's one of the reasons why you would set up camp. Or to give yourself a safe place to train or to sleep or to eat. So you have to give yourself a place to know your enemy. Like David, you know, he'd been fighting these lions and bears. Oh, wow. He knew how to take them out. So know the weakness of your enemy. Know the weakness of yourself. So again, 80-hour weeks, coming home at 7 p.m. at night. You know, your wife's already, whatever, falling asleep, gone to bed, left dinner on the table. Probably not a good time to, let me just scroll through the good old iPhone and see who's on social media right now as I turn on the TV and Right. Totally let down every guard I had because I was just working my butt off all day. Right? That would be knowing a weakness, right? Or, you know, let me just go to the bar and just get a drink. Or let me just go to the casino and I won't bet. I'll just see what... I mean, just they have a, their barista over there really makes a good hard lemonade.
Yeah,
barista.
Yeah, I know.
Irish coffee.
Believe it or not, that's exactly what it sounds like. That was
dumb, yeah, right.
The dumbest excuses. It's like you actually believe that.
Yeah.
Oh, this is ridiculous. You know what I mean? It's like,
number three. Check this out, man. So again, he chooses to fight. He knows how he's going to take him out before he even engages in the battle. Before he's even presented with the enemy. You guys hear that? Did you hear the wisdom in how David, it's not like he didn't have a strategy. He knew exactly what he was going to do. Know exactly where I'm going to hit him. I love that. Next one, verse 39. When the world tried to put his weapons on him, David said, I cannot use these. I have not tested them. And he took them off. And the word of the Lord for us men is, that's right, trust your weapons. The things that you have tested. The things that the Lord has shown you. Trust your five stones and your sling. The world will call it foolish. The psychologists will call it stupid. If you can't list to them all your triggers and all the ways you're going to de-trigger when the triggers have been armed and... And then it's the person's fault who you asked for a 5-minute break from for not giving you the 5-minute break because you couldn't go through your de-escalation pattern. Oh my goodness, you should hear the stuff that happens in like, I'm serious because I was in it for 7 years. Drug and alcohol rehab. Like the world systems, whether it's conquering addiction or whether it's de-escalating from anger, guys, you have to trust your weapons. And you have to know your God enough. You have to have spent enough time alone with the sheep and the dude. Like, you have to trust your weapons. Not my weapons. But I can tell you this. If I'm going to go kill a bear, and I never killed a bear before, and this dude, David, took out a bunch of bears that were coming after sheep, I'm going to go talk to David and find out. Dude, I mean, I might end up with a machete, David, but can you teach me how to do a sling? Okay, how do you do it? You follow me? If someone knows how to do something that I have no idea how to do, I'm going to learn from them a while, but at some point, I'm going to then take what I've learned and make it my own. Some of us might be still fighting and losing because it's almost like we're trying to learn a weapon that isn't ours to have. Some of us should be fighting with swords. Some of us should be fighting with slingshots. Some of us should be fighting with our bare fists. Some of us should be using switchblades. Some of us should be using handguns. I'm in the spirit, okay? So learn from somebody. Clarification for the audio. But do you guys understand? Like, don't come crying with a black eye when you just keep using... I mean, I've told you this before. I don't know if you remember. I've said, like, this guy, Corey Martin, when he would tell me how he would pursue the Lord... And like in the mornings and what I would just try and emulate it exactly. Because I liked Corey and the expression of Jesus in him. And I figured if I did what he did, I would get what he got. Stupidest thing ever, right? Partially right. Like, okay, that person has something that I want. I want to learn from them. But just emulating it to a T and expecting the magic potion to work the same way as it did for them. Go to a barber and say, hey man, I'd like a fade to a 1 with a 2 on top. See if your hair comes out the same as mine. It won't look the same as mine. Okay, you can't just do the same things. You're a different person. Trust and know your weapons. And say no, respectfully, nicely, to the Sauls that try and give you theirs. Amen? Number 4. And when you have done that, when you have chosen to make war, when you have studied and you know the weaknesses and everything you're about to go into and you're fully prepared with your weapon, understand this hysterical number 4. That it doesn't jack diddly squat depend on you. Because David said, in verse 37 and verse 45. I come to you in the name of the Lord. He's the one that's going to deliver me. He's delivered me before. He's the one that's going to deliver me again. Isn't this hysterical, guys?
Yeah.
It's funny that David went to Saul saying, dude, this is what I did. This is what happened. This is what happened. I went and got my sheep. And then who did he give credit for? Verse 37, so the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he never took credit himself. Man, I was taking out that, I was hitting bullseyes from 50 yards, man. So when that thing came, no problem. He didn't take credit, man. No, so number four, know the source of your power.
Amen.
The source of your power is not your own training, it's not your own ability, it's your submission to the process. The process, that's what got you here. Choosing to fight, learning your enemy, knowing your weapons. But then when you go to engage, that's the beautiful thing, man. When it's late at night and you're on Facebook for whatever dumb reason you're on Facebook late at night and you scroll up and you see something and you click in and you're like, whoa, hold on, wait, what am I? This is not who I am. But you're tempted and you're feeling the struggle. And you say, no weapons in my... What are your weapons? What are your weapons? I don't know. Some of your weapons might be, dude, so you're texting someone and you're getting on the phone right now. You got a speed dial to someone. You're like, dude, I'm just going to talk for a second. Your weapon might be fleeing, putting on your running shoes and going and running outside. Your weapons might be, you're just going to start to sing whatever song that you sing. I don't know what your weapons are. But it's the Lord. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the helper who you've got to call on. Call on me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, saith the Lord. If you don't call, man, I used to get mad at the Lord. Like, dude, Lord, why did I flip and go look at pornography again? We talked about this, Lord. I don't want to do this. And Lord, you said that none of us will be tempted beyond what we can bear, but when we are tempted, God is faithful, and he will provide a way of escape. Where was my way of escape? He's like, dude, your way of escape was like five exits ago.
Right.
When you said no, man, like, there's consequence to sin, man. So, you got to know our power source and submit to it. So, man, I'd say this, like, victory is then not also the end, right? They fight, they win, you know, they win the battle. But there's still the war, right? And it's peace that we desire. So my encouragement, man, is this. Like, I don't know where you're at. I don't know where your weeks have been. I'll be honest. My past month has been really difficult. Not necessarily in sexual sin or temptation. It's been very difficult prioritizing family, prioritizing things rightly. I have felt, you know, attack in different ways. And so even what I was saying in worship, like, but I am not, you are not, I am not, we are not made to be people whose feelings drive the bus.
Amen.
We are to be submitted to the Spirit. So I can praise, like, I just saw the waters part and the blind healed and the lame walk because I'm just choosing to. And as I agree with who God is, not because of what he's done to make me feel like he's awesome, just because who he is. Therein lies the victory. Therein lies not being a man that lives according to my flesh and what I feel. So I hope that if you're taking account of your last month, let's just say like me, my question for you is this, like, are you winning the battles or are you losing them? Are you making good financial decisions when you can, or are you just saying, you know what, whatever. Now, let's just put this on the card. When there's an opportunity to call someone or text someone you know you shouldn't call or text, what are you doing? And I would say, I mean, you got to go to the Lord, but let's at least ask ourselves these four questions. What was I even choosing to make war, or was I already just giving in before the thing even started? Then don't get mad at the outcome. Well, I did choose to make war. But, man, I tried to fight, but I failed. Well, maybe you just didn't realize your enemy, the pattern, the thing that always is the way the thing always ends up. Because,
right.
Yeah, you tried to fight, but You had already done this, 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 and this. They're like, you know what? It pretty much was already, you know. Or, again, like, I don't just ask yourself those things. Or, you know what? Dude, I haven't been sharpening my sword at all, man. I haven't been. I was swinging my sword, but that thing's dull as junk because I haven't spent any time sharpening it with brothers or with the Word of God. So, yeah, my weapon, it was lost cause. You feel me? So I don't know. This is my encouragement. Hopefully it's encouragement to just like check your sort of protocol going into battle, mm-hmm. and see what the Lord have you sharpen. So, amen. Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would illuminate your word to us, because it's your word and it brings light. You're not the author of confusion. And so I thank you for the promises we can stand on. And God, I ask that you would bring conviction. And I again say, God, to those that you've been calling and nudging to search out fire, to wait and ask for fire, to ask for that refiner's fire. God, I just ask, Holy Spirit, that you would impress on our hearts till we do that. Hold us accountable if we don't. In Jesus' name, we love you, Lord. Amen. Amen. And this concludes the only lesson that Broken Free will ever teach on victory. I'm just kidding. That's good.